There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
Hi, I'm Bowen from Las Culturistas.
And I'm Matt from Las Culturistas. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship?
Then check out season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks.
Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business.
You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
Check out season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM, let's create.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see. My, oh, my.
Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Las Culturistas.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
Okay, so we're going to find out later if that sounded bad or good.
You know what? I think Doug is going to make it work. Y'all, we are just rigging this with the Zoom and the Zencaster. This is some new ground, we have to say.
Here's the thing, you guys. We are actually forced by our international situation to record remotely. And we're forced into that You Pick Two, where it's unfortunately just going to be me and Bowen across the country for a little while.
Yes, for maybe a lot of while.
Well,
but that's okay.
Okay, so what is the consensus now? So let's just speak its name. It's Voldemort name. The coronavirus has, I think, become something bigger than any of us expected. I always kind of like look to you, Bowen, to like tell me what's going to happen.
And I'm not an authority on this.
But like you being the doctor of the two of us, because you're the doctor, and I'm, of course, famously say it with me, the hunter.
The patient.
I felt like I was asking you about the coronavirus early on, and you were like, you were of the impression
Stop.
That it wasn't going to be cuckoo cuckoo.
I did not couple it with the fact that our nation is bungling this so much.
Yeah, I think that's really the kicker, isn't it? It's that we're not handling it well.
I mean, you could have contact traced back in February, back when we did have 15 cases, when Trump was like, we only have 15 cases. And like, you could have like, I don't know. It's, but again, I'm not the authority on this. So do not look to me in times of crisis.
It's just that you are my smartest friend.
Oh, that's not true. We know Sudie Green.
That's true.
And you're famously friends with John Lovett now.
Yes. Well, he was on the show Game Show, and he is
congratulations.
Statistically...
First of all, we have to... What? Statistically what? He's statistically
the
smartest person.
The smartest gay person. Gay person. No, he's a fool
gay
when
person.
You put him up against next to smart straights.
That's
a
true.
A real fool.
Well, we have to first congratulate Matt Rogers and Dave Mazzoni on the release of Game Show. Today's the launch day of Quibi. We're recording this April 6th.
Yeah, and this will come out on April 8th. And so it'll be out for a couple days now, and there's new episodes coming out every day. So right now, as you listen to this, there's a new episode of Game Show. And it's been really, really fun to see it released. A little weird to have it released during this time, and it's definitely been like a sort of I don't even know how to describe it. Like, you want to get behind it and promote it as much as you can, but also I'm so conscious of the fact that it's such a weird time, and it's like a weird time to be celebrating something. But I also think people need a distraction and need a little fun.
I think people are really embracing it because not because of the time that we're in, but because it just feels, I don't know, it's fun, it's frivolous without making light of the situation. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, who even knows what's right to be hashtag promoting, saying, doing at this time. I feel like it's been such a weird moment because I'm truly, like, even if people are acting insane, I'm kind of just like, yeah, but it's this time, and I'm not judging anyone for any behaviors.
I'm not begrudging anybody for their behavior either. You post whatever you want. I am here for it. I support you. That's the standard that we're all living in. And what?
Some of us are even showing our body. You showed your body.
I did.
And I remember I looked at that picture and I said, oh my God.
What did you think?
I thought you looked amazing. And I said, gotta say, you were keeping it tight and right. And also, you look big in your traps.
But you know what it is? Is freaking
body fusion.
Body fusion. My diet is regulated now. I'm not ordering fucking two Big Macs on Uber Eats at like 2 a.m. anymore. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
oh, that's interesting.
I think it's mostly a diet thing for me. And I'm just like doing little resistance band bullshit.
I have to say that's interesting and actually very opposite of me, because yesterday the best thing that happened to me all day was that I got a confirmation from Postmates that my Taco Bell would be arriving early. So that's like, unfortunately, where I am with my body and my physicalitus.
And your physicalitus. How often are you ordering from Postmates?
Oh, often.
I'm not going to berate you. Okay.
No, I mean, and that's the thing is, like, who can berate me in this time? Although I can berate myself. I can tell you that right now. Well, it's really just like when this first went down and I went to the grocery store, this was like literally over 3 weeks ago now. I went to the grocery store and I was like, okay, let me get stuff for 2 weeks, because I genuinely thought that's what I would need. And I successfully did that. Like, I got stuff for 2 weeks, but now it's at that weird place where everything that's left over is not necessarily the healthiest stuff. So I am kind of like eating a lot of like frozen pizzas and pasta right now. But also, I haven't been too afraid of ordering, like, you know, I'm still ordering. And the way I'm justifying it is, like, I want to support the restaurants. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, obviously not Taco Bell.
Taco Bell's really struggling, yeah.
Yeah, they're actually, I had to support my local Mexican joint, Taco Bush. No, but, like, I have been, like, restaurants that I like, I have been ordering from, and just saying like, well, right now I'm able to order out, and so why not support the restaurants? Obviously not Taco Bell. That was just a weak moment last night while I was stoned watching Survivor, which I'll get into.
Yeah, you are going to use your powers of persuasion in this hour plus to convince me to watch Survivor. You kind of sold it to me yesterday on FaceTime.
What is your history with the show?
I told you, I have not seen a single season.
That to me actually is an exciting opportunity.
Okay.
Because I think that you actually would enjoy it so much, because it is a game of the wits. It is a social game. It is also a horny show, because Bowen and I are two, sorry about it, gay men, hashtag, at the end. And we, gay men, hashtag. And we love hot guys. And let me tell you something. There are a lot of hot guys in Survivor, and they are jumping around. You see their pants fall off during challenges.
They're jumping around.
They're jumping around, jumping, doing all sorts of that. And it's actually Rule of Culture number 13. Survivor is the horniest show on television. Can you say it with me?
Yeah.
Survivor is the horniest show on television.
Okay, we should just put out there, for the duration of the time that we're going to record through that we record remotely, we're not going to be fully synced up on the rules of culture. Let's just say that. Can we just
Can we just say that
out there? Can we just say that?
Can you just give us the space to say that?
Thank you. But see, my concern now is I if I want to watch hot guys do stuff, I have other outlets. Back when I was like 11 years old, Survivor probably was the only place to see that kind of thing. But now it's like, well, that's the novelty is lost on me of watching straight guys, mostly straight guys, do island challenges.
Actually, on one season, I think it was Cambodia.
There's a gay man.
No. I'll tell you which one it was. It was the race war season where they split the tribes. Oh, Cook Islands. They split the tribes up into four races. There was like, it was literally like black people, white people, Latinx people, and Asian Americans. And it was like the four different tribes. And I won't say who won, but it was not a white person.
Parv?
I will not confirm or deny.
Matt's also been talking to Parv.
Well, Parvati Shallow is actually the name of this contestant who is an iconic. If you readers out there are fans of Survivor, you know Parvati. And you have to understand that me, as a result of me doing the best thing I've ever done for myself, which is to get very involved with and obsessed with Survivor, have become quite acquainted with Parvati. And actually, the first four seasons that I watched, no, first three seasons that I watched were all Parvati seasons. And I've become very obsessed with her and have followed her to her outside of Survivor content, where I found out that she is a life coach in Venice Beach, and now my boyfriend Jared wants to take her teachings.
What kind of, do you know what kind of like life coaching she does? Is it?
She does a lot of like mantras. Like, she's very into yoga. She's essentially like a white girl yogi, but very powerful. Like, she actually, like,
is she white or is she Indian?
See, she's white. She's like a white girl with the name Parvati.
Oh, cool.
And what do we think about that?
That's fine. I mean, did she give herself that name? Either way.
No way,
case,
no how.
Fine.
I think she just had a dad that was like into spirituality.
Sure. Like, just missed like Wild Wild Country. Like they had just shut down. And he was like, oh, fuck, I wanted to move to the Pacific Northwest for that.
I think probably that. And well, anyway, he gave birth to a daughter that, well, he didn't give birth, but, you know, he was part of the birth of a daughter who would eventually one day become a real force of good on Survivor. And I love Parvati because she flirts and that's how she wins, or at least that's how she did it when she was like young and hot. And now she's 40 with two kids, and we're finding out now how she's doing on the current season, which is called Winners at War, which is all the winners, or 20 winners. I just think you would like it.
Yeah, I have no reason. I don't know why I've put it off for so long. Are you finding yourself a little maxed out though, like media diet wise and all this? Like, I feel like I can only handle so much right now.
I think actually it's better for me and easier for me to just put one thing on and let it go. Like, I would rather, like, even the other day, Jared was over. So my quarantine experience has been, I spend half my time here at my apartment, and then I spend half the time over at my boyfriend Jared's, and we just get right in the car, and we're the only two people that we see. But it is nice to have the space to go to go from place to place. So the other day he was over, we were watching Survivor, and he was like, I don't think I want to watch Survivor anymore. And I was like, well, unfortunately, that means you have to go.
Wow. So you made him leave.
I didn't make him leave. It was very much time for him to go, but he didn't want to watch Survivor anymore. And I was like, so this is going to be a long sit. This quarantine is going to be a long time. And what I need right now to stay sane, because I don't know about you, but I've been having, ooh, baby, violent mood swings with the cabin fever of it all. And I was like, I think I'll go absolutely nuts if I can't just sit with this and like have this on, because it's like centering me and making the day move, because it's such a show where it's like they're on the beach and they're talking about what happened last night, and then the reward challenge, and then they talk strategy, and then the immunity challenge, and they talk strategy, and then tribal council, and then rinse repeat. And that helps me get to the end of the day. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's why it's working for me.
Okay. Great. Then I'm just going to figure out when I can work it in. Because right now I feel like I'm being assigned a lot of viewing or a lot of consumption. I'm not really. The only thing I'm assigned to do is I'm watching season one of The Leftovers. I've never seen it.
Yeah. And was that because Jared recommended it or was he just excited for you that you were watching it?
He was excited. I told you guys that I was watching it and Jared was just excited because everybody says, and like this is, I know this to be true already, but everyone's like, oh, just wait until the season one finale and then season two is amazing.
Yeah.
I remember you were watching it when it was out, right?
I started to try and watch it. Because you were a Lost fan. I was a huge Lost fan, and that is also a whole thing with Survivor for me. Like, I just love, I think, honestly, like, it is, in this situation, it's like watching people in a much worse situation than me, like, trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I get it.
Like, they're talking about, like, all these things, and I'm like, well, at least it's not that.
Yep.
But I was a huge Lost fan, as you know. Like, Lost was actually part of my culture that made me say culture was for me. But I, the thing about Leftovers is in the first season, it was really violent in parts. And there's like,
I've never had to close my eyes at something ever before. And then the episode I watched where you see Kathy Geist from 30 Rock get stoned to death. I was like, I can't do this. I cannot watch this.
It was literally, I had a feeling it was going there. And then I remember when the episode first came out, everyone was talking about how it was like one of the most shockingly violent episodes of television that had been out in recent memory. And I was like, okay, then I actually can't watch it. I have a really tough time watching violence.
I get it.
I just can't. It really upsets me.
It's beyond the violence. It's also, so I'm watching, so Heidi Gardner recommended that we watch a show together because she had just finished Watchmen and we were both talking. I was telling her how amazing it was, and she's like, "It's so good, it's so good, it's so well done."
And she was like, "Let's continue this experience."
Yeah, and she was like, "Hey, have you seen The Leftovers ever?" I was like, "No, never." And so we are like, "Let's watch an episode of The Leftovers."
Wait, that was a really good Heidi. Hey.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, you know, it's, God, like that's her. That's her stupid little catchphrase. She's always like, "Hey,
yeah, she's hey. So stupid."
So stupid. But she was like, hey, we should watch one episode a day of The Leftovers. And I was like, okay. And then every day she checks in, we check in with each other, and she's like, hey, I didn't like that. And like, we're so far, and then her husband Zeb too, like, we're all texting each other, and like, so far we're six episodes in and we're like, this is not good.
Okay, so
but it's just because it's all building up towards the finale. I know, like, we all know this. It's like, this is all going to come together in such a satisfying way from everything we've heard. So we're sticking with it.
Well, you know, by the end of this, you can become one of those Carrie Coon fags.
I love her. She's fantastic. And you're a Carrie Coon fag. You made up a Carrie Coon song.
Did I?
I can't believe my plane got delayed.
Was that a Carrie Coon song?
From Come From Away.
I know about my song, Come From Away, but what did that have to do with Carrie Coon?
She was in Come From Away.
I don't think she was, bitch.
I think she was. I'm looking it up.
You go ahead and look this up. I don't think that's true. But
I think
Carrie Coon has an army of gays, Joel Kim Booster included. Was she in Come From Away? I did not know that culture.
I'm looking it up.
Well, that's good. Oh.
Wait.
Yeah, you're wrong. Misinformation is really dangerous. Never mind.
But somehow, like a conversation around Carrie Coon transitioned into Come From Away, and
no, you know what?
No, Carrie Coon.
Misinformation is so dangerous, and it's actually a front runner for title of ep.
Misinformation
is so dangerous.
Wait, she was in.
No, bitch, you are so wrong, and I'm not going to have you click away while you're supposed to be actively engaged with me here on this podcast.
I'm engaged with you. I thought we talked about Come From Away. Okay, maybe we have to cut this all out.
No, we don't. You always are suggesting because of your foibles that we cut things out, foibler.
I am not often suggesting. You're hyperbolizing.
Well, anyway, this is why I want you to get into Survivor bad. Because there's actually two people from Survivor that I would like to have on the pod.
Yeah, who
one,
are they?
One is Parvati Shallow. Literally, no, I'd rather get Kathy Geisted in The Leftovers than have Elizabeth Hasselbeck on this show. Geist me daddy. But I want to have Parvati, obviously, because she is the queen, and I actually want her to be my life coach on an episode. And another iconic reality show villain from Survivor. Do you know about Miss Jerry Manthe?
No, I don't. Tell me.
Okay, so this is why the first season that you need to watch is season two, Australian Outback, which is the one that had Elizabeth Filarski, now Hasselbeck. so you can get her origin story and also understand that Jeri Manthe was the original reality TV, competitive reality TV villainess. She was she was called the Black Widow.
Oh, was she black?
She was not.
God bless. Thank God. Black wait a minute. Is this going to be... Is this
no.
Tough? Yeah.
It was not racialized. It was merely because she flirted with men and like seemed to manipulate them into alliances, I think. But I would like for you to watch, truly do whatever you want. And I don't want to assign you more homework, but I'm just saying in the long term, I would like to have these ladies on the pod at some time because I would like to sit across from them at a table and just talk about how they were such incredible, iconic women in reality television. A blind spot for us sometimes.
Sometimes, absolutely. Now, what else are you? So then what's after? I mean, you kind of have a giant repository of Survivor to get through. You could conceivably spend the next 18 months just watching Survivor.
Literally. Well, Guy Branum did that. Like Guy Branum, I forget why he did this, but he actually inspired me to do this because he was off from work or something, or like I think he had like a space where he wasn't working at some point. Where he said he watched the entirety of Survivor, literally season one to season whatever it was, all in one straight shot. Wow, and that's why he's so obsessed with it. So I was like, okay, it can be done. And I'm telling you, on average, I finish a season in 3 days.
So it's like 40 seasons now?
They're on their 40th season, and the 40th season is called Winners at War. It brings back 20 iconic winners of the show. And one of them who has won twice... Miss Sandra Diaz Twine.
Mm.
And she has
40 divided by 3 is okay. 40 divided by 3 is 13 point something, 13.33. Mm-hmm. You could in 2 weeks. You got to spread it out, Matt. You can't burn through all of Survivor in 2 weeks.
Well, now I have all these quick bites to watch.
Oh my God. Now I saw the beginnings of Nikki Fresh, which I thought was great.
I like
Jared Frieder. Jared Goldstein.
You get your Jareds mixed up, but Jared Goldstein, is our friend. He plays Nikki Fresh, Nicole Richie's assistant on the show. Shout out to Iron Madison III, who wrote on the show, and Jax Media, who produced the show. But that is really funny, and I really enjoy Nikki Fresh. It stars Nicole Richie as a conscious trap rapper. So she's a health conscious and earth conscious Nicole Richie who wants to start doing trap music about
for moms
health
and
conscious
gays.
Things for moms and gays, which I really like that line. And she's so really funny.
She's so funny. She's always been so fucking funny.
Literally always so funny. Did you ever watch Great News?
I didn't, but I heard she was great in it. I heard everybody was great in it.
I heard it's actually, not actually really funny. Obviously, it's really funny. I just don't, just don't watch a lot of network television. Sorry, everyone.
Oh.
I have heard that she is unbelievable on it, which did not surprise me at all. And she's really funny on this show. And Jared's great, and I'm happy for him. And so you watched a little bit of that. Anything else did you peek in on?
I started the Sophie Turner thing and I just was like, I can't. It was 3 a.m. I was like, I can't watch this.
It was truly late last night when I started watching it. And I did think, I'm of two minds about the Sophie Turner thing. And I will be honest about it, despite being in the Quibi family. I must be honest as a culturista.
Okay.
So I think it's actually a really interesting premise because the premise of Survive is she is a girl with suicidal ideation who has post-traumatic stress disorder. And she's finally leaving like the group that she's in, the home that she's in for people that have mental illnesses that are her age. And she's leaving and she's going to get on a plane and go home. And her plan is that she's finally going to take her own life on the plane ride home. So then the plane crashes and her survival instincts kick in and you realize she actually wants to live. So to me is actually an interesting concept. I think that she's really talented and it looked really good to me. But my thing about it is I have a problem whenever anyone as beautiful and as much of a star and as like, you know, aspirational as Sophie Turner is like suicide, you know, like so I'm only one episode in and I want to keep watching it. But I have like instincts kick in whenever anyone is using the concept or theme of suicide as entertainment, I get very weird. And I really think you really have to walk on eggshells to get this right, because people are very easily influenced. And someone like Sophie Turner, especially now, a huge deal, you know, but I have a lot of faith that it'll make a comment on it. But yeah, you get what I'm saying.
I totally get what you're saying, because that's kind of what your issue was with, we don't have to rehash this, but that's kind of what your issue was with 13 Reasons Why.
13 Reasons Why, absolutely. I mean, I actually think that very, 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 very few pieces of media do suicide correctly. Yeah. It's really tough. But like I said, this is a take on survival instinct, and I think it could be really good, and it looked good to me, and I think that she's really talented.
The premise is very interesting, yeah.
Very strong.
I want to say it's just very smartly created tension. Whatever. I'm not Hannah Gadsby.
No, you're not Hannah Gadsby at all.
I never pretended to be her, okay?
No, you actually were pretending to be her for 6 months. And I said, take off that drag. You're Bowen. And then you booked the biggest job of your life.
Yeah, you're right.
And before that, you'd been talking like this. You'd been walking around like this and doing Hannah Gadsby.
That's why I can't tell if that's good or bad, which is a pretty good place to be.
Horrid.
No,
well, this is what Hannah Gadsby. This is what stocks like.
That's not a bad Hannah Gadsby, but it's definitely not a good Hannah Gadsby either. So I'd love that it's in that weird liminal space.
I think I'm not going to do comedy anymore. I think I've had it.
You're doing like Liverpool.
I think I've had it. I think that's enough. Because these men.
Oh my God. These men. I loved in Nanette when she went, these men.
Picasso. Oh my God. Wait, you want to know some tea?
Yes.
So, you know how, like, Hannah Gadsby allegedly dated Jill Soloway?
Oh, right.
Apparently she goes in on Jill Soloway in her next stand-up.
Oh, in her next special?
That's what I heard. That people that were there were like, whoa.
It's kind of an open secret at this point. It's an industry secret that, like, Jill is a very particular presence. I truly have no, like, real... I have nothing to say or nothing to add, but, like, they did a whole Difficult People episode about Julie Klausner wanting to get into, like, the lesbian Jewish, like, cabal of writers and, like... and, like...
The gatekeepers.
No, it's just... It was basically, like, all these, like, lesbian gatekeepers in media, and it's, like, people kind of... I think, like, the conception of Jill Soloway now in 2020 is that, like, oh, fuck, it's Jill Soloway. I don't know.
We love a good celebrity feud. And yes. We stan an alleged celebrity monster.
God, I mean, I hope one of us gets to experience that someday.
Being just a monster
a fabled monster. A fabled monster.
Well, it's going to be you. Because I'm going to be the one starting the rumors, or the better yet, confirming the rumors.
Speaking of rumors, we have to talk about the new Lindsay Lohan single.
Oh, bitch. Wow.
What a segue.
Back to me.
Me.
Back to me.
Now,
is it a bop? I think it is.
First of all, I can't tell. It has no... The shelf life on this is going to be like 72 more hours before we all forget about it. But I think...
Truly.
What I love about the song is literally before second one, like, she starts singing immediately as soon as you hit play, which I don't know why that's remarkable to me, but it's like she just goes in right away, and it's so funny. There's no like ramp up to like the vocals or anything. It's just she sings, and it's fun.
You know what I like about it? It's very purposeful. You know what I mean? It's not like there's nothing about the song that doesn't feel like you know, I mean, it's, by it's accident dark. Or like thrown together. Totally. It's a very purposeful song. It was very purposefully released. And seems like she's really dictating how she feels, whether or not those are good ways to feel. I don't know. I don't know about the lyric. I drink too much, but that's okay. I don't know.
I was
going to
reference
okay.
that. Yeah.
I think that when she drinks too much, she actually steals kids. But that
gets
not
punched.
For me to, that's not for me to judge, I guess.
I
Beats cute.
Wow. That was 1 year ago.
Yeah, it was recent. Her speaking in an insane accent, stealing kids off their attempting to steal kids off the street, and also that insane car wash dance or whatever.
I mean, oh yeah, the car wash dance. I mean, it's our amnesia around her is so fast, and it's so, I mean, like, you think back on like the first iteration, not even the first, like post Freaky Friday, Lindsay Lohan was like still like a pretty like rock solid, like you're like, oh yeah, she goes out and parties a lot, but she's really talented, and like that all just deteriorates, but then like we want to rebuild her again, and then it all falls apart, and then we rebuild again, and then it falls apart. It's so,
I will say, this is not an effort for us to rebuild her. This is an effort for her to rebuild herself. And I think she certainly could have come with a weaker song. I mean, the fact of the matter is the song is pretty good, and I was listening to it and I was like, all right, like, this is not the worst song that's come out in the past 6 months.
It's not bad.
I'm not going to not play this.
I just think I still find her to be very, I mean, like, this is not like a cool, edgy, new take, but like, she's still a very fascinating public figure.
What do you think?
I watched her old interviews with Oprah, where like Oprah like really is
like, well, hello, let's celebrate that.
The vultures are waiting to pick your bones. It's just like,
cut the shit.
You thought that was the turning point, right? And now it's like she's singing about drinking again. It's dark. It's dark.
It's really dark. Oh my God. Speaking of drinking again and dark, we have to talk about Roni.
Oh, we will talk about Roni. We'll talk about Roni. What were you going to say? But I cut you off with the Oprah stuff. You were going to say something.
Cause I was thinking about music, and I was talking about, I was thinking about, Dua. What are you thinking of Dua and her new music?
I fucking love Dua and her new music.
Yeah, I think it's great too. I feel like it's like bummer for her that she can't release it at a time where everyone can go out and dance, because she was obviously such a targeted dance, like disco album.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, and obviously Gaga has held Chromatica back, but, you know, someone's got to give the kid something.
She secured her place though as like a pop like superstar though. Like, it wasn't fully a given with her first album.
Yeah, I think that first, I'm actually going to give a hot take and think, I think the first album overall is stronger as a piece of work, but I think this second album solidifies her identity more, but I think that Physical is maybe her best song she's ever put out. Well, New Rules is New Rules, but
New
Physical
Rules
is
New
amazing.
Rules, but Physical is incredible, and she had a harder job to do on the second album. I mean, it's like,
and they
classic,
always do.
They always, it's classic sophomore slump. Challenge stuff, but like, she really pulled it off, and like, it's such a confident pop record that we kind of haven't heard in a while. So I love it.
I mean,
it.
Don't
and
Start I think, Now is amazing.
Cool. I've been listening to every day.
Cool's great.
There's a lot of good music. I mean, like, at least there's a lot of, not at least, like, it was inevitable. This, like, nothing, this is not as a result of the situation we're in, but like, there's good music coming out. Fiona Apple's coming out with her new album next week. And it's Waxahachie's got a great album. There's some good stuff.
And Lady Gaga's going to wait.
Lady Gaga's going to wait, which I think is the right move.
I think it's the right move too, because honestly, so much of what this is going to be is like, and so much of what she is the performance, like you've been saying, the performance of fame around her releases. So without that, that would be tough. Like, and I think that she obviously had a vision of how this is wants to come out. What did you think of the album cover?
It's not, we were talking about how it's not super impactful, right?
It's low impact. Yeah.
It's low impact. I mean, it's visually stunning. It looks good. It looks very manicured or whatever, but like, even Joanne, it's like a very like clean lined, impactful cover, like the pink hat It's her profile. Blue, that soft blue background. It's like, oh, okay. Like, it communicates a lot. Born This Way communicated a lot. Art Pop's cover communicated a lot. This is like, okay, like, there's a steampunk element, and
this actually recalls to me, like, the Meatloaf album covers of, like, the late 80s, like, early 90s, like, Bat Out of Hell and stuff. Like, that sort of, like, weird, like, it's, like, 15 feet away weird thing. It's not about her face. It's about this, like, image, and it's sort of romantic and, like, almost gothic in a way. I think it's interesting. I'm used to being, I guess I was just expecting it to be like more emotional.
You're used to being walloped by like a Gaga cover.
I think, yeah, especially like, because like the last image of her last era was literally her crying face.
Oh, sure. You're talking about Star Is Born? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, do you remember where you were? I remember where I was when she tweeted out the original Born This Way cover. I was in Bope's
library. I was
library.
Not a huge fan like you. You would remember where you were because you were a stand.
I've been in on the, I was in on the ground floor with her, and the day she tweeted out the Born This Way album cover of her as the motorcycle, I was so shocked and so giddy. I was like, I can't believe she did this. It was such a stupid wink. Like, it's such a stupid album cover. And she like tweeted, I designed it myself. And Born This Way, the word mark is not even centered. It looks, the letting is crazy. The letters are squished together.
They're
it looks
so
like
weird.
Bad Microsoft. It looked like bad Microsoft Word art. And it, like, but it was all intentional. Like, she wanted it to look a certain way. And it was impactful, and people like fucking lost their minds over it. Like, I don't think people don't really have strong opinions on this one. Is what's unfortunate.
No, because I think unfortunately, like we're at the point now where it's like she is not one of the fresh, young, new, viable like pop
stars. I don't think
that
matters, though.
No, I don't think so. But I just think what I'm saying by that is like every fan of hers, everyone that's gotten to know her over the past decade, because it has been a decade, like knows that when her music comes, we're going to enjoy it. And like, we might go through a phase with it. Like, but I think that we know it's just going to be what it is. Whereas like, there felt like there was some sort of unpredictability or rough terrain ahead when she was going to be releasing music like years ago, where it felt like some element of danger. But now that she's proven she has such staying power, I think it does take the element of needing to weigh in with an opinion away. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. She's a fixture now. It's like there's no
it's sort of totally. Like if Pink were to release a new song tomorrow, we'd be like, oh, she has a new song, I'll listen to it in 3 weeks. Or if you told me she released a new song 3 weeks ago, I'd been like, oh, really? Cool. Like, you know what I mean? She's just such a fixture. Yeah. And that's just the way it is.
Totally.
But I think it might be time for an ad break, Bo. And when
I
we come
so
back,
too.
We will talk about Real Housewives of New York.
Hey, it's Bowen, and I want to introduce you to the new Cantina Chicken menu at Taco Bell. Yes, it's an all-new chicken menu with fresh new ingredients, great as a lunchtime option. Taste for yourself the slow-roasted chicken, pico de gallo, purple cabbage, and new avocado verde salsa sauce. With new menu options like Cantina Chicken tacos, burritos, and quesadillas, there's something for everyone. And Taco Bell isn't just for a late night. With this new Cantina Chicken menu, the possibilities are, well, endless. Try the new Cantina Chicken menu at Taco Bell now. Now, I said.
Oh, the summertime is the right time to start building credit, Bo.
I've always said this since I was a child.
Summer should be fun, not financially stressful.
You know what I love about the Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card?
What?
There are no annual fees, interest, or credit checks to apply.
Yes!
And if your credit scores grow, so could your opportunities for lower rates on loans, like for a car or home.
With the Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card, build credit using your own money.
You can also get paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit.
With Chime's secure credit card, you can improve your credit scores all summer long. Get started today at chime.com/culturistas. That's chime.com/culturistas. Chime. Feels like progress.
The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Spot me eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal and OTC advance fees may apply. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
Hey, I'm Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas.
And I'm Bowen Yang.
Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the U.S.? The world is powered by entrepreneurs.
And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
In every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business and how they have found success being their own boss.
From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
Okay, we're back. Now let's
talk
about Roni.
We actually are back. Yeah, okay, so first of all, I want to say nothing darker than the coming attraction at the end of the episode that was Dorinda being like, don't drink that, it's vodka. And then Luann drinking it and being like, it tasted good.
Pushing her hand away.
Yeah, that was really, I mean, we're in for a rough road. And especially with this new girl, Leah, who seems like the cool young version of Luann, who Luann is going to like want to chill with, is now here with like a more intense arrest record, a fresh 9 years sober, now fresh off the wagon, like young, turning the party girl. I don't know how this season's going to go for Lou.
Yeah, that is Leah's thing, right? She was sober for 9 years, and then within the last like 3 months before they started taping, she was like, yeah, and then I started drinking again. It's like, whoa, oh, okay.
She goes, I was sober for 9 years. I just started drinking again. And the thing about me is when I go out, I really like to black out. And I was like, everything about
this. She got punched by
insane.
A cop.
Yeah. She goes, I was arrested. So like she actually is my energy, and I may identify with her on a deep level.
No, man.
She got
you would not,
punched
like,
in the face by a cop, lost her tooth. The cop knocked her tooth out.
Front teeth.
Yeah. And then she sued them for $75,000 and used it to start her business Married to the Mob.
She's a little, I mean, there's bits of Luann, there's bits of Bethany, and that's
chaotic.
Not just for wanting. Yeah, it's a very interesting alchemy of different housewives' traits.
So her also having to Google what Giovanni meant was
I
so
loved
funny.
That.
And she might be our first true example of chaotic neutral.
She's chaotic neutral, but or she's like chaotic good. I don't know.
I don't know if she's chaotic good because she doesn't necessarily come in with like the best super like positive energy. Like I think Bethany.
It's not about positivity.
Oh yeah, what is?
Oh,
it?
But you're saying Bethany is chaotic good.
Well, I don't know. I feel like Bethany may be. I think that Bethany behind the scenes is chaotic evil. But like chaotic good is like Bethany being who Bethany is, but also ultimately like saving kids in Puerto Rico. You know what I mean? Like that is chaotic.
Yeah,
good. Her energy is literally insane, but ultimately she does good things. That's literally what I believe is the definition of chaotic good. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. You're right because I was trying to think. Because the way Leah inserts herself into that fight at the end between Dorinda and Tinsley was very interesting. Yeah. But also, I mean, I can't discount the fact that this was her first time hanging with the girls. But right. I mean, Dorinda and Tinsley are fighting. And then you see Leah kind of like sidling up next to
She's like,
Tinsley.
Okay, I'm here now. Right. I remember.
Right. And then she's like, and then like you see the subtitles and you hear like off to the side, like she goes to Tinsley, she goes, are you going to let her talk to you like that? did you catch
that? I didn't catch that.
Are you
going
to let her talk to you like that?
No, but I did actually watch the end of the episode again because Joel had brought up a moment where Dorinda looks to Leah and like very knowingly goes, welcome. Like, because she was like,
I love that.
I know who you are and I know what you're about to get into, but you don't.
Oh.
Really?
Because I love... because
Go.
Wait, go ahead.
I was just going to say there was really weak taglines this year on their,
I know.
Like, really, really bad and, like, tired. And ultimately, I was like, none of these girls are giving a fuck. But then in the episode, I thought everyone was playing their games well.
The episode was good. The taglines are weak. I agree. And then, but I do just want to say that after Leah's like, you can let her talk to you like that. She, like, Dorinda keeps yelling, and then Leah screams to Dorinda, "Why are you being like this?" Which I love.
That's
which
mean.
I think is, there's some version of chaotic good. Yeah, and you're chaotic good. I feel like there's some aspect of chaotic. She's chaotic neutral, but she has some aspect of good in her.
What she has, which is very powerful, is the ability to make you feel like you're acting crazy. And yeah. Because she's like cool, she's going to drive the women nuts. Because yeah. Every time she's gonna do the thing of like, okay, I don't know what yeah. is going on, she's going to drive them crazy. Because there's nothing these women want more than to feel like
to feel
young
cool.
And viable and cool and vibrant and like sort of like... this is going to sound shady, but like there's like a lot of possibility for them going forward.
Yes.
But I really feel like because Leah is younger than them and has that cool girl energy and has kind of like been there harder than a lot of these women, I think it's going to be very interesting to watch.
Yeah. She's
a
fresh.
Good choice.
She's like, very good choice. She is, because I would argue that none of the other housewives are cool except for maybe Dorinda. Like Tinsley, Sonia, Ramona, Luann, none of them are cool.
No,
Dorinda's
Tinsley's
cool.
Not
Dorinda's
cool.
The coolest. No, yeah.
No, I feel like Dorinda is or was the one who was cool because ultimately she was like, I don't really care and I'm going to the Berkshires. You know what I mean? But then yeah. Like she shows her hand when she has too much to drink and she shows actually that she does care. Like yeah. She is yeah. unbothered, but actually is very bothered. Whereas like Leah might just be unbothered. And that is and that's like Erica Jane on Beverly Hills. You know what I mean? Like yeah. That's why she gets under the skin of those women so much is because she's like, they realize like, oh, this woman like, actually doesn't need us and mm-hmm, that drives mm-hmm. us nuts. By the way, speaking of bad taglines for New York, did you see the taglines for Beverly Hills?
I heard they were good.
They were really good and I actually want to play them.
Okay, please.
I think it would be fun to play them and listen to them. All right, so these are the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills taglines for the upcoming season, and I'm needing to.
Around here, there's more than just dresses in everyone's closet.
Kyle.
The secret to life? Dance like everyone is watching.
Rinna.
I won't mm-hmm. settle for anything less than everything.
Dorit.
Life is an audition, and honey, I am getting that part.
Garcelle.
You never know what to expect when I'm expecting.
Teddy.
Oh, Teddy.
Not in these heels, honey.
Erica.
My life may not be a fairy tale, but I'll always get a happy ending.
Denise. All right.
Okay.
So,
oh, Denise gets the last one. Interesting.
Denise gets the last one because you know what happens on this season. She fucks Brandi Glanville.
Right. first of all, those are all very good taglines. And there's such a theme of like acting or getting the part. And we have to give respect to Miss Tiffany Pollard. Because for some reason, you sent me this video. You unearthed this old clip of one of New York's reality shows after Flavor of Love and after I Love New York, where she's like at a casting office. And then woman walks. Okay, you're New York, right? Okay,
I'm New York, and you're the other girl who does not matter because New York is queen.
Exactly. Okay, so I'm this other girl who's just walking out, and she goes, "Break a leg, guys."
What did you say to me?
I said, "Break a leg."
No, I'm not going to break a leg. I'm going to get the part. That's what I'm going to do.
End scene. Incredible. You guys have to look up New York Tiffany Pollard break a leg. The way she like gets up out of her chair and walks over to this bitch and is like, "No, I'm not going to break a leg. I'm going to get the part. That's what I'm going to do." It's
because
so
she doesn't understand good. What break a leg means. It's important to reinforce. She does not know the expression. And then later, she's talking to the guy that they're all trying to date or whatever. And she's like, this girl is crazy. She keeps telling me she wants to break my legs. And the guy goes, okay, so break a leg is something that people say when they want to wish you luck and in theater or in film. And Tiffany just hangs her head and she's like, damn.
I can't tell which part of that is better, the part where she goes, what did you say to me? Or the, no, I'm not going to break a leg. I'm going to get the part.
No, I'm not going to break a leg. I'm going to get the part. That's what I'm going to do. No, I'm not going to break a leg. I'm actually going to get the part, bitch.
That's so funny. How dare you?
Like, also the other girl, break a leg. And then just the way
she
responds.
What did you say to me?
I said break a leg.
Yeah, she deserves some credit. She's very good.
Come on.
Too.
Much credit to everyone involved. A great scene.
A great scene.
I'm going to say dark horse for my favorite tagline might be even, I can't believe I'm saying this, but Teddy, who somehow made it to her third season, you never know what to expect when I'm expecting.
When I'm expecting. Yes, that's very good. That's very good, Teddy. I mean, what was Denise's? I forgot that one. I've already forgotten, but they're good.
My life might not be a fairy tale, but I'll always get a happy ending.
Oh, yes.
I'm wondering if there's some sort of masturbation or
massage
jack-off reference. Some sort of massage reference there that I'm not picking up on, but may pick up on when I watch this season.
Interesting.
And that's reality TV now, baby.
I truly... is masturbation references, is massage references? I don't know. Wow. How's your brain doing? I feel like mine is atrophying by the damn day.
I haven't been myself for literally weeks because that's another thing is like I'm smoking so much weed here. I mean, there's just nothing else to do. I was just kind of getting into the unhealthy habit of just smoking so much weed. And it has like slowed me down a little bit just because like, I don't know, like that's the way I'm dealing with Corona is just, I want to completely numb myself. And that's just the where I'm at. And I think it's fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But no, yeah, I don't feel like as sharp as I usually do.
Yeah, as long as you're not like fully depending on it.
No, oh my God, no.
Watch me intervene.
Yeah, be my hero. what are your coping mechanisms? You've been playing video games a lot.
I've only smoked once. Huh?
You've been playing video games a lot, and I wanted to tell you that I tried to order a Nintendo Switch, and they're completely out of stock everywhere.
Yeah, because I feel like it was a thing that people were just buying left and right.
I could have bought one for $600, decided not to.
Yeah. I mean, God, I'm trying to think of a solution for you. You could, I feel like you would enjoy it so much. See, I'm like, oh, because didn't we make a deal that I would watch Survivor if you started to play like Animal Crossing or something?
Yeah, but the thing is like, it's become an impossibility for me to do that. So now I think you just have to watch Survivor.
I know,
not to add into something else to your long list, but you know.
Well, I'm fucking tempted to send you my damn Switch to ship it over to Miss Los Angeles.
Well, so wait, can I just, before we move on to more other topics, I just want to ask, how long do you think this will go?
I think once there's a rapid antibody test that can be brought to scale, that can be done from home, and like people who have the antibodies can like just like kind of be relatively calm about going outside and just resuming life as much as possible, in terms of like opening businesses and stuff, that will be the beginning. And then like there's four things that people are looking out for, which is that just testing for the virus has to be brought to scale too, so that they're expecting like in order to sustain this, in order to make it sustainable, that people get tested regularly and with availability, it's like 750,000 tests a week have to be administered. And then it's about hospital capacity around the country being like leveled off in terms of every patient who comes in with COVID symptoms is able to get treated and is basically able to, worst comes to worst, get a ventilator without any sort of strategizing around like shortages. And then, God, the other two things I forget, but it's mostly just about hospital capacity.
Okay, stop. Deborah Birx or Fauci, pick one.
Okay. Fauci. But Deborah's the lady?
Yeah, who wears the iconic sweaters.
Deborah, the way Deborah handles Trump is very fun to me. She just completely ignores anything he says. Trump will just like say some nonsense and she'll just be like, okay, well, anyway, like she's like very like just brushes him off very well and is like, does not acknowledge whatever nonsense he's fucking like.
We need that.
Choking on. And so I like that energy a lot.
But Fauci's like very seems like, what's going on with Fauci?
He's very accomplished. He's very capable. What's your thing with Fauci?
I just feel like I want him to like sort of get into it more. I want him to get real.
Oh, well,
I want him to turn to Trump and be like, you need to stop. I guess that's my thing with everyone that's up there with him is it's just like, but no one just turns to him and says no. Like, I feel like someone that was actually looking out for our well-being, like if he were to actually say something really dangerous, which he is all the time, someone would be right there and be like, hi, it's important that you know that that's not something to listen to. But I guess the decorum of it all is something we're still doing.
Yeah. Which is crazy. Like, you're right. You're absolutely right. But then the way that Trump would respond to it would be like
kicking them off.
Oh, well, they've just humiliated me in front of everybody, and so I will murder them. Like it's
really
such
insane.
A stupid,
also,
fucked up.
What is going on with this lupus medication, the malaria medication that like truly so many millions of people, need? And he's now creating a frenzy around it. That can't be good.
It's all so bad.
Wait, one more thing. Did you see this insane video of psycho Ezra Miller grabbing that woman in a chokehold and throwing her on the ground?
I don't know
what
this is.
What a crazy person.
What? Can you explain what this is?
So this girl came over to him.
I saw that headline and I was like, no.
Well, there's video of it and it is harrowing. This girl came over and was like fake fighting with him, like, approaching him. And he walks up to her and goes, you want to fight? Grabs her by the throat and throws her on the ground. And then he had to be separated from her and like taken away. It happened like.
Where was this?
Days ago. I think it was in Iceland, which makes it all even more insane. But that is the tea.
I mean,
I couldn't believe that.
What do we think? Ezra Miller, always a little suspicious of that one.
I mean, like, definitely, like, darkness behind the eyes, but I always thought it was, like...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He was part of his charm. He was in that movie, We Need to Talk About Kevin, that, like, crazy movie about Tilda Swinton, right, who has a son who, like, is actually a serial killer.
Right.
So I was always like, oh, maybe it's just that. He just has, like, a dark quality that's... as an actor, but yeah, he really fucking popped off in this video. It was scary to watch. It was the sort of thing where I was like, oh, I wouldn't want to be around that person.
Damn.
And honestly, filled out that suit in Justice League too.
Honestly, hot. We have to. No.
Unfortunately, that the hot ones are cuckoo. It's actually Rule of Culture number 91.
Unfortunately,
the hot ones are cuckoo. And you know, you've been dealing with some hot cuckoo boys.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we're all hot and cuckoo right now.
That's true.
I'm saying everybody is hot and cuckoo.
I will say one thing.
I can't call. Do you want me to call them out? What do you want me to do?
No, I don't want you to do that at all. I'm just saying.
Who are you referencing?
Stop it. I said, I know you deal with hot men who are crazy.
No, that's not true.
It is, actually. Don't edit this, or I'll be really mad. Before we move on to I Don't Think So, Honey, I did want to say that I have done the thing I always tell you not to do, which is now that I have a show out, I like fall down the rabbit hole and like search it and like go down Twitter and see what everyone is saying. The majority, vast majority of the feedback for Game Show has been really good. And then, like, every now and then you'll get to that person that's like, oh, this is the worst thing a gay person has ever done. Like,
yeah, which is so funny.
Which is like, lululululu. But ultimately, I did want to just remind everyone that Game Show is out and that there should be 5 episodes out right now. And I hope you are enjoying them. And they're coming out every day until all 8 are out.
Do you want to talk about that phenomenon more, or do you want to just move on?
Well, yeah, no, I guess it was just weird because it was like literally 95% of the response has been so good. And I'm like so excited about it and thrilled about it. And then I was just thinking about how difficult it is to make like queer content or like content for gays or content
it's so hard.
Because it's like this. It sort of feels like you have to really make an effort to involve everyone to be called inclusive at all. And you also want to be at the same time specific, because that's how you get good quality, is by being specific and by being, detailed. But then also you want to avoid stereotypes and avoid harmful tropes. But then also you don't want to ignore the truth and what's funny.
Hell yes.
So it's really interesting just to try to make something that appeals to gay audiences, because I am so excited about it and what it is. But then you will find that you really cannot please everyone, and that is something that I think can be hard for performers and entertainers and creators, is like, that is something that you have to really remember and let go of. Like, you will not please everyone. And also, even if you please the vast majority of people, there will be those voices. So I think it's just helpful to voice out loud.
Yes. That's you have the exact right mindset about that. And this sounds a little petulant, but it's like, at a certain point you're like, okay. And then sometimes it just comes down to people having not bad taste, but like taste that doesn't align with yours.
Right.
And
exactly.
It's not an indictment on what you're putting out. It's not an evaluation of your skill or your talent or your work ethic. It's just like, they just won't like it. And it's statistically, that makes total sense. Even though in our job, it's like we try to, just in terms of even on a joke writing level, which Game Show has jokes in spades, but it's like, even on a joke writing level, like, think about it. Like, every time you try to write a joke, you try to like maximize the amount of relatability that an audience, like you're trying to like maximize the size of an audience that's going to understand
the
joke.
Right.
And so, but then at the end of the day, like you're always going to have some sliver of some little segment of the population that is just like, I don't know what that's bad, or I don't know what
that vocally
means.
Doesn't get it. You know what I mean?
Yep,
like,
yep,
and that's
yep.
been the thing too. It's like, this is the first thing I've ever released that's gotten like reviews. Like, this podcast has gotten like, you know, if people want to, they'll write something about it. And like, it's been lucky enough to like get a couple awards or whatever, or like nominations and stuff, but nothing where it's like, this is coming out as a piece of content and it is to be reviewed. So it's been really interesting to just have something that you created just be up for consumption in that way, which I obviously you've experienced in such an intense way. But to be kind of like, for it to move from like what it was, which is like, this is just for fun, to be like, and now let's see what Quibi is and if it's going to be a thing. Let's list the things on Quibi and tell you if they're good or bad. And it's like,
But think about that. Like, you know, I don't know. Think about that journey. I hate to use that damn word, but it's like, it started out in a basement.
Yeah,
it started
totally.
In a basement, and then you guys have remained so true to what it was, and it's so good, and it's so
I'm really excited.
Perfect
about it.
It's so perfect for like the audience that's watching Quibi and people who already know you guys. It's so great. You guys
and
be
I'm
so
just
proud.
Happy it's there for people that want to laugh if they want.
Exactly. Okay, let's take one last break before we do. I Don't Think So, Honey. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Bowen, and I want to introduce you to the new Cantina Chicken menu at Taco Bell. Yes, it's an all-new chicken menu with fresh new ingredients, great as a lunchtime option. Taste for yourself the slow-roasted chicken, pico de gallo, purple cabbage, and new avocado verde salsa sauce. With new menu options like Cantina Chicken tacos, burritos, and quesadillas, there's something for everyone. And Taco Bell isn't just for a late night. With this new Cantina Chicken menu, the possibilities are, well, endless. Try the new Cantina Chicken menu at Taco Bell now. Now, I said.
Hey, I'm Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas.
And I'm Bowen Yang.
Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the U.S.? The world is powered by entrepreneurs.
And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
In every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business and how they have found success being their own boss.
From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
We're back.
We actually are back. And we're back with I Don't Think So, Honey, which is a segment that we do on every edition of this podcast. And it's where we take 1 minute to rant against something in culture that's just making us not so happy. We actually want to say, I don't think so, honey, about that thing. And so we do. And, you know, traditionally, Bowen Yang does go first. Do you have a topic?
Traditionally, you go first.
Oh, wait, I go first traditionally. I forgot our traditions.
I do have a topic, but I can go first if you want me to.
I'll go first.
Okay. Okay. Do you want me to time you or do you want to time yourself?
Yeah, I want you to time me.
Okay. So this is Matt Rogers. I don't think so, honey. His time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. Every couple of years we have to hear Brad and Jen. Shut up. They're never getting back together. If you think that they're getting back together, I don't think so, honey. And I know better than you because I'm not a fool. First of all, they weren't even a great couple in the first place. You just liked
it
because they were both famous and they got together. Honey, if you knew anything about Brad Pitt, he should be with someone who wants to go do ayahuasca in the woods and not pay their bills. And Jennifer needs to be with someone who can read the damn newspaper with her in the morning and doesn't have mind her having 6 cigarettes at night and 3 vodka sodas, girl. Mm. And these are two different kinds of people who were just put together by the Hollywood machine, honey. And every time they appear at the same damn award show, girl, I have to hear from you saying, I think so, honey, Brad and Jen. No, I don't think so, honey, Brad and Jen. And I don't think so, honey, Brad and Jen, that picture of them where he was like holding her hand is like proof that they should be together. Bitch, no, he needs to let go of her. And if he doesn't, I don't think so, honey.
And that's 1 minute and 12 seconds. Yes, wow. You got it all out.
Well,
you're right.
I don't think
do you think it's every 2 years, though? I think that picture was like a catharsis that had been building for like
I hated that.
Five years.
it really made me feel like I was in 1997. There were a few months last year where I was like, is it 1997? Like when Renee Zellweger was in the Oscar conversation, love her to death, but I was like, is it 1997? For the four Oscar winners to be Laura Dern, Brad Pitt, Renee Zellweger, and Joaquin Phoenix, I was like, I'm sorry, but actually, is it 1997? And now we're on the red carpet saying, can we please get Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston back together? And also Quentin Tarantino is popping off, like, and so is Martin Scorsese. Yeah. Is it 1997 or not? Someone tell me right now. I actually need to know now.
But that kind of affirms this dumb pseudo theory I have that, like, it's so cyclical in showbiz where it's like, these are like very meticulously timed campaigns to like bring people back into like, I don't know.
The
zeitgeist.
Someone made the joke the other day, like on Twitter. It was like, wow, y'all really wanted a cultural reset. And here we are like saying about Corona. And I was like we didn't need Corona for sure. But what we for sure needed was a cultural reset. Because we were regurgitating the same damn stars, the same damn type of movies. You know, it just last year was such a weirdo, like trapped in a box year. And then when the year ended with everyone being like Brad and Jen, I wanted to truly explode. I thought it was unacceptable. Now it's going to be Bowen Yang's. I don't think so, honey. Are you ready?
Yes.
And your time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. People who think that Carol Baskin killed her husband. No, what? Honey. I believe women. Constance Wu, as my friend Constance Wu has said, choose to believe women.
It's
Make
meaningful.
The choice to believe women. There is this crazy smear campaign against her. You are all playing into this, like, and you're aligning yourself with Joe Exotic, which is like which is so dissonant to like everything that you value. Like, I'm seeing a lot of smart people, compassionate people,
30 seconds,
who do not buy into these cults of personality, who are so on Joe Exotic's side, and I'm like, I don't understand, Carol. I can spot a liar, and Carol Baskins ain't one. She, I believe that the husband.
45 seconds, 15 seconds.
Flew on his own to Costa Rica, and then the plane damn crashed because it flew under the radar. That's what happened. That's T-Boots. The
5 seconds.
Down, girl. Leave Carol Baskins alone. I am the Chris Crocker to Carol Baskins of this generation.
And that's actually 1 minute. I have two things to say
and I
right
got,
after
and
that.
Hot executive, network executives, Hans, said that was a great one. So thank you, Hans. Sorry.
Well, that's cute for him. And what I have to say is two things. I have two things to say at this time. One, it's crazy that you kept saying her name was Carol Baskins. Her name is Carol Baskin.
It's Carol Baskins.
No, you stupid bitch.
Carol Baskin. You're right. But
so you sounded like a fool saying that. And now
in the documentary, in the series, a bunch of people refer to her as Carol Baskin. So it was never fully canonically clear what it was.
They're from Florida, you freak. That's why they say that.
You better be careful.
Well, I will, because I will avoid Florida. I'll tell you that. That's how I'm being careful. Now, the second thing I had to say, and you know how much that breaks my heart, because you know I love to go to Florida, but I also know a damn phantasmagoria when I see one, and it is A,
what are you
the way
saying?
People are behaving in Florida right now, and B, the way they've always behaved in Florida. You want to know how Joe Exotic sells tickets? His thing was in Florida. So let's just get that straight. And I say that with all
it was
my
Oklahoma,
family there.
Bitch.
No, bitch. It was Florida, bitch.
His zoo was in Oklahoma, bitch. Read the facts.
Girl, no. It took place in Florida. Florida,
girl,
USA.
No, girl. This is so easily verifiable. And the readers are going to come for your ass.
Literally,
Joe Exotic was in Florida.
I hope they take me
off my ass.
No,
Joe Exotic was in Oklahoma. Carol was in Florida. Oh, my God.
Okay,
bitch,
fine.
You're stupid.
If I'm wrong, every listener can fuck me. So... And the other thing I have to say
open
is...
Open up that hole, bitch.
Yeah. It's gaping. And so I have two things to say. It's Carol Baskin. And the second thing
is... Yes, I'm sorry. I can acknowledge my error, but you can't?
We'll see later. Not at this time. And the second thing I have to say is she 100% killed her husband. She murdered him. In the coldest blood.
In the coldest blood.
I don't understand how you could watch that and say she didn't.
Because there is a case to be made, and there is evidence that can be laid out to support the idea that he flew his own plane to Costa Rica, and then like on the way,
but
he crashed.
Then what?
Or so, he got to Costa Rica and fully disappeared. Yeah,
I don't know about all that.
There also is, you can also say that there's motive for the husband to disappear to make it look like she killed him.
I don't know. I just feel like you can read an energy of a person, and I feel like her energy was not good. I feel that she was a killer.
Okay, but if she killed her husband,
I don't have all my materials in front of me right now, but I remember watching it, and I looked at Jared, and I was like, there's no way that she did not kill him.
At the end of the day, let's say that she did kill him. At the end of the day, you're holding up two people who both have had at one point murderous intent and be like, well, I like the guy, like, well, this woman's crazy and she's a liar. But it's like, he's also crazy and a liar.
I think they both deserve to go away. And I think also what they're both doing to those animals is cuckoo bananas, because she really does pretend to be better than them, but she's not. Because she was still charging tickets, I was like, honey, you essentially are doing the same thing, but with a, hey, little tigers and kittens in front of it. I was like, that, first of all, she was cuckoo bananas.
Yes, yes. Also, and then Han says also,
death or disappearance.
Death or disappearance is a very common legal term, contrary to the doc's suggestion. Google it. Yeah. That is,
okay, so I'll tell you what just happened. A straight man has yelled at us to Google it. It's disgusting. Well, this is supposed to be our new home.
He says brown man.
A straight brown man has yelled at me to Google it. He's still straight. Now we actually have skipped over a lot of Tiger King, and that was essentially culture for the past month. So I guess we should, before we go, just give some brief reviews and thoughts.
Like, the COVID is this monoculture now. It's like, it's all we can talk about. It's all we're thinking about. It's like, we have to, within the first 15 minutes of any conversation you have with someone, you get that out of the way. You're like, how are you doing? Blah, 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 blah. I feel like Tiger King is part of that, is welded into that culture now.
Oh, it's forever intertwined with the coronavirus. And it's also hard to call it a monoculture when there's a Tiger King in the picture. It's like, no, you actually can't call coronavirus a monoculture because we had Tiger King.
No, I'm saying
that was actually
like
hugely important.
I'm saying monoculture in terms of like we're all talking about the same things because we're all experiencing the same things because we're all watching the same things.
Yes, I thought you meant monoculture. My understanding of it was the culture is revolving around one singular thing. But you mean that our point of view is all the same because of certain circumstances?
Because we're all sort of, we have a lot of similarities right now, which is
beautiful.
It's the earth is healing. Just kidding, please. I don't think so many people who say that.
What? It's like, that it's not worth, the earth is getting a break environmentally.
It's like that doesn't. I like that as a way. If that makes you feel better about this, great. But that's not like. That's not a reason
cool
to like
thing to say
embrace.
Right now.
It's not, I don't know if you're making fun of me, but it's like, it's not a thing to embrace in all this. Okay.
No, I think if you want to see the positive in all this, do that in like a couple of years.
Oh God. Yeah.
And that's how I feel about that. Also, I just want to say that the Joe Exotic and his two straight husbands thing, not something thematically I haven't searched for in porn before. Like Florida
right,
man and his two straight husbands. For sure, I've typed that into Pornhub.
Okay, so Matt is supporting the meth pipeline to gay men, and
that's actually slander. And you need to Google it.
And you need to Google it.
I guess it was Oklahoma we were yelled at. I don't know. I was seeing it in Florida World. On becoming a god in Central Florida, as it were.
They're both states with panhandles, so I get it.
And that's—I think that's where I was confused.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Matt, I'm so excited to go on this new journey with you, this remote recording journey.
Yeah, but I want it to end really soon. I'll say that.
I do as well.
I want to be
just
with
stay
you.
Positive.
I want to be with you eating cookies.
I want to be with you eating cookies, girl.
Someday soon. Can you believe that Disney World is closed? I can't believe that Disney World is closed.
Well,
like, I absolutely can, and it needed to happen, but I just can't believe we're living in a world where no one is currently on Splash Mountain.
Oh, man. I think that's the least of our worries.
It's fully the least of our worries. I'm just saying, can't believe. And with that sentiment, I think we're going to close the chapter on this episode of Las Culturistas. And Bowen, what do we do every time we end an episode?
We sing a DM song. And why don't you? I've been leading off the songs too much lately. Why don't you lead us off?
Do you wanna have fun?
How's about a few
laughs?
I can show you.
Good times, good times, feeling Giovanni.
Watch a game show on
Quibi.
Bye.
Ooh.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
That world has eaten up and spit out a lot of young and attractive guys.
This is the story of one of fashion's dark secrets.
I was overwhelmed. Like, I had never seen anything like this.
At the height of Abercrombie and Fitch's success.
This was me being carefully manipulated.
Being lied to, tricked, and traded like a commodity.
Investigating allegations that would take me into a world of money, sex, and power. This is World of Secrets, Season 1, The Abercrombie Guys.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, iHeart listener. We have a confession to make. Both iHeart and this commercial you're listening to right now would probably sound a heck of a lot better on the new Roku Pro Series TV. It's got side-firing speakers that fill your room with sound, Dolby Atmos audio that puts you right in the middle of the entertainment, and the ability to pair seamlessly with your home theater sound systems that already have surround sound and booming bass. If all that sounds too good to be true, it'll sound even better on the new Roku Pro Series. Your hearing isn't better. Your TV is.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those, too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.